Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Wait, what am I seeing on the YouTube stream here? Wait, Josh is off today, but he's going to be hanging out tomorrow at Club Paragon? Takes off today. It's too good for us, Chewy. But he's going to be hanging out at Club Paragon for Bucks Pistons tomorrow.
And now he's texting us to, you know.
He's not happy about being compared to Jesse.
Well, that was Jason.
Jason did?
Yeah. Ooh. Jason took the shot there.
All right. Rivalry now.
But this is what happens when you take off.
Yeah.
Like, anytime I take a show off, I expect at some point Chewy's going to take a shot at me. That's just how it works.
He did the last time I did a show with
Fair.
Him. And it was me, him, and Homer. You.
Oh, Gabe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the way you got to expect.
I'm your guy, but I got to be honest here.
But Gabe, the only time he takes a show off is when he's golfing. That's it.
Well, that one I was visiting family.
Went down to visit the in-laws in Orlando. Yeah. Fair. I take shots at everybody.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you are going to miss a show, Chewy's going to take a shot.
Yes.
I mean, Will's just like an unofficial part of the show.
Yeah.
He's not even here every day. Will's once or twice a month.
Yeah.
You're a part of the show. He still takes shots at you.
Do you struggle getting up in the morning? Because you normally wake up at 9 o'clock.
Often.
See?
Yeah.
You struggle?
No. I'm a grinder. That's what you say.
You're not a grinder.
Yeah. What I see Chewy once a week for 15 seconds and he's like, oh, just getting here now.
Grinders don't smoke bones.
That's not true.
No.
You're telling me. Okay, so you look at yourself a grinder.
Yeah.
You're telling me you've never smoked a bone in your
never
life?
Never in my entire life.
Really?
Never. Never.
Hmm.
They're disgusting, aren't they?
I never have.
No, but
a cigar,
is that okay?
Cigar's different.
Yeah.
I've never had a cigarette, but I'm also allergic to cigarette smoke.
Are you really?
So I was always scared to, like, I don't know what's going to happen if I smoke one. So. Yeah.
What about a cigar? You ever have a cigar?
I've had a cigar, yes.
Do you have one often, like after you golf?
One of my guys at Fifth Third, when I play with him, he likes to have a cigar. Every once in a while, I'll have one with him on the golf course.
Yeah.
I'm talking 2, maximum 3 a year.
Okay. I felt obligated because Frank used to own a cigar store in New Jersey.
Okay.
So, to help my guy out. They're really kind of gross, though.
I can't really get behind, like, people loving the taste and, like, the really nice and expensive ones. I just don't really.
It's just your breath is kicking like Van Damme. It's terrible.
Well, the next morning, you just feel your mouth is just dried out.
Yeah.
You start to get sick a little bit I don't understand the people that can finish a whole one, like, in one sitting. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Without getting, like, sick to your stomach.
Yeah. No, I'm not. That ain't me.
Who do you think is a better coach? There's no transition here. Who do you think is the better coach right now? Do you think it's Matt LaFleur? Do you think it is Ben Johnson? Because obviously that's going to play a big role in this. Both these teams, and I think coaching is going to end up playing a huge role in how the NFL plays out this year, because we see all these teams and everybody's got their flaws. Like, there's no, at this point, I feel in most years, we would see, Kansas City, yeah, they're really emerging. Buffalo, last year in the NFC, like, the Eagles were starting to get hot. Detroit, despite having injuries, they were playing some great football. Like, we saw some teams that we looked at as, okay, these are the upper echelon teams. We can start, because I know during power rankings, you love to kind of tier the teams. Who are the true contenders? Who might be able to sneak up? And it's just so hard this year because you see all these flaws in these teams. And I think coaching's going to play a big role, and coaching motivation is going to play a big role. Matt LaFleur ignored, or says he ignored, the comments made by Ben Johnson earlier this year when Ben was hired. Here's what Adam Stenovich, Packers offensive coordinator, had to say about Ben Johnson calling out Matt LaFleur in his introductory press conference back in January.
You know, head coaches in this league, they generally don't say inflammatory things about each other. So I was wondering what you thought as a staff member when Ben Johnson said what he said at the press conference, and if you thought that was any kind of shot at the whole staff.
Yeah, you take it personal, for sure. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah.
That's fine.
Do you need stuff like that later in the season as the season's dragging along? Like, you always mention, especially for rookies, it's a long season.
Yeah.
Do you need something a little, especially as you start to drag a little bit, you're coming off a long week, just a little extra
if you try to use it too much, see what Holmgren would do. Now, this is back before computers, this is back before phones.
It's not back before computers.
So we would get a printout, mm-hmm. a Xerox copy of all the articles dealing that day. So every day you would get a stapled copy, it could be 5, 6, 7, right? Mm-hmm. And then Holmgren would take it the extra mile. If Ben Johnson said something like this in our day, Holmgren would tape it up on everyone's locker. So if you do it too much, it's just like, all right, this is kind of Willie Joe high school stuff.
Yeah.
You know, some stuff you do, some stuff you don't. But back to your original question of who I think a better coordinator is. I think they're a better coach.
Because they're the head coaches. They're in charge of everything now.
Well, the sample size on Ben Johnson's a little too small. Premature. I'll just take it from an offense. They're both very good coordinators, right? Mm-hmm. I think the difference with Ben Johnson is he's a little more aggressive, right? He's a little more where I think LaFleur has a tendency to get a little too conservative. I think you have to go back to Ben Johnson with Detroit. Because they were unbelievable. There's flowage. And he wasn't too... Like, even last night and the week before watching Detroit, Dean Campbell, they do stupid things. Just dumb.
Yeah.
It's like, Mike's theory in our heyday is, if you're good enough, you don't have to do crazy stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You just show up. We're the better team. We execute. Don't turn the ball over. We're going to beat you 9 out of 10 times. That was our philosophy. I never saw, and haven't watched a lot of Detroit, you know, games last year. Ben Johnson just doesn't do stupid stuff like that, you know? He's very creative, as is LaFleur, especially early in the year. But I just, from a flowy standpoint, I think I got to go with Ben Johnson.
Do you think that Matt LaFleur then would be, you talk about aggressiveness, would be better off adapting the mindset that they had against Detroit? Like, they knew, they go into that game knowing Detroit, yeah. Hey, they're going to go for it a bunch on fourth down. We're going to have to roll the dice a little bit. And it was a talking point throughout the course of the week that you heard Jordan Love mention, hey, yeah, that was something we talked about, being a little bit more aggressive, having that aggressive mindset. Do you think that would be something that would be advantageous for the Packers to have that mindset over the next 5 games?
Yeah, I would. Especially with a defense like this, where they can bail you out at times. What I would like to see is swagger. You're playing at home. Mm-hmm. You know you're good. You know? Football's a lot about intimidation.
Attitude.
You know? Attitude. You just show up and be like, back in the day, I mean, Frankie was the band leader. I mean, dirtiest player in the league, I think, 2 years in a row. But Frankie was like setting the tone, right? They're holding our running back up. Play ain't dead yet. Laying guys out. And then Timberman gets it. And then Marco gets it, you know, and then myself.
At what point did you get your swagger?
Probably after the San Francisco game in the playoffs that we won. Because we kicked the crap. I mean, not only physically, we just imposed our will on them.
So I don't.
And then it carried over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it carried over in
96, you know, where we were just, I know it's a sensitive word, but we were bullies.
Yeah.
You know, we'd walk in and be like, you're not winning on our field. And Holmgren's philosophy at the beginning of the season, I don't care how good you are, you win every home game, mm-hmm. which we did for a while, and then you win half your road games.
And that's 12-4.
Back in the day,
it
gets you a 12-4.
Yeah. That's 12-4.
That was their philosophy. So,
and I mean, again, you guys lost that season opener in 95
to the Rams.
The Rams, but then
seven catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown.
You had your guy, as you like to say.
Brett threw a couple picks that were heading my way. I didn't really want them, but he threw them anyway.
Threw them anyway.
Yeah,
but again, you guys didn't lose at home the rest of that season.
No.
Shout out to Yancey Thigpen, and. Then you won all the home games until 1998, till Randy Moss came in. Like, that was the stretch that you guys at home. So you got that swagger against San Francisco, and you want swagger from this team.
Yes.
But I don't think they've had that San Francisco game.
They didn't have it when they went on that Jordan Love's first year of that stretch? Who'd they beat in the playoffs?
Oh, they
to go to San Fran.
They boat raced the Dallas Cowboys.
You would think that would be the game though, because Dallas was like a high seed on the and they
yeah, Dallas was a two seed.
They pummeled them.
Yeah.
They pummeled them.
But I don't know if then the Jordan Love injury kind of hurt that.
Yeah.
But I would say that they, I don't know if they've necessarily had that game. And you mentioned the veteran leadership that kind of led that swagger. I don't know if they have that.
Yeah.
Which is part of the issue.
That's fair. That's
when
fair.
You're a team this young, it's hard to get that swagger and then have that kind of trickle down to everybody else.
Well, what do you think? Let me ask you this. What do you think the Philly win did for the Bears? Because that would be that game. If Green Bay went into Philly and did what the Bears did to Philly, you would say, there's the game right there.
I mean, and especially looking at the locker room stuff, I mean, I think the Bears have confidence right now.
They definitely have confidence.
They believe in anything that their head coach tells them.
Yes.
Because honestly, Chu, especially after working with you the last handful of years here, some of the stuff that they do, you have to be bought all in. Mm-hmm. To be going crazy that your head coach is taking his shirt off. And then you have the sing-songy good, better, best thing that they do after games.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of college-y.
Yeah. But everybody's buying which is fine. Yeah. But if you buy in.
It's culture. Yeah. They've never had culture.
Well, look at what Detroit. You know, Dan Campbell, his first year, what? They're terrible.
Mm-hmm. Biting kneecaps.
Biting kneecaps. But players bought into Players bought in.
And that's how you get away with it. So I think the Bears are bought in.
Yes.
I don't know. I think they have confidence. I don't know if the Bears have swagger yet.
Do you think it might be a good thing that the Packers don't have swagger right now?
No.
Because it felt like they did after the Commanders game. They were talking, we're going to go undefeated, and then they lost.
I wouldn't say that was swagger. I would say that was false bravado. And maybe that's looking at it in hindsight, being 2020, losing to Cleveland, and the way everything played out after those first two games, Will. But... like, swagger is something completely
different. There's two guys that...
Deion had swagger.
It's like a
flow. There's two guys on this roster, I think, that have swagger.
Micah.
And?
I don't even know
who Josh Jacobs.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
I think he goes into a bar fight and fights three guys.
Yeah.
And doesn't bat an eyelash.
And doesn't blink.
Micah fights nine guys.
Because he doesn't ever
play. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're all talking trash to him.
Because you want that to get contagious. You know, you want it to get contagious. And you see a little bit from Evan Williams. Flies around, comes and fills hard. But that was us with the O-line. It's just like, dude, our thing, we're not uber talented. Never had a Pro Bowl player. But we set the tone. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We set the tone.
Packers-Bears coming up. We'll get to more Packers-Bears in a little bit. But coming up next, we haven't done it in a couple of weeks now. It is time to test the big guy's memory. We see what he remembers about the things he said throughout the course of the week. We Can Reach You is coming up next. But you can transform the way you do business with Fifth Third Bank's commercial payment solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process, seamlessly integrating with your existing systems to give you unparalleled control. Discover new revenue sources, save time, reduce operating costs, and boost your bottom line with their customized payment solutions. They are doing a great job here in Milwaukee. I was hanging out at their holiday party last night. Huge party. They're helping so many people in Milwaukee specifically. You need to let them help you and your business as well. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
You feeling it? You got swagger here, big guy?
I remember the question, so feeling pretty good.
Let's get to it. Time for the Week in Reach You.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the Week in Reach You.
Because I know you're going to ask, so Josh did do this before he left yesterday. So these questions were put together, the audio clips put together by Josh. So it's not Will who came up with the questions.
Okay.
This is when he said I was lying to him because I told him that and said if I did it, I'd make it easier because I'm on your side.
Yeah. So with you, I'm playing Atlanta. Now I'm playing the Rams.
Josh, that's the ultimate sign of respect for our boy Josh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go, Will. Question number one.
I just screwed that whole thing up. No, that was the read.
Well, it's been a minute.
I'll do better next time. But
What did you screw up?
Dean, the dancing machine, came back strong, though. See? Typical Josh. Making me build up the pressure and pressure. Last segment of the show, nailed it down the pipes.
Yes, the Jewelry Center live read is what you kind of stumbled all over. And as you said,
you ever get
forgot
that?
To read. Oh, yeah. Well, because what will happen to me, especially if it's a longer read,
yeah,
like you mess up one word and then you're just in your head.
Yeah.
And then you just start stumbling over like every other word. It's bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
Where did I pick up again? You're looking at the sheet.
What are you saying?
When you lose your place, like you mess up and you look away from the sheet.
Yeah, we get the picture. Sorry, that was aggressive.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I take it back. You can come back next week.
Question number two.
I'd always be afraid that I'm going to get whacked.
Where and how do you think you might get, and I quote, whacked?
At the barber and the restaurant. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the straight razor at the barber was the one we were looking for here.
Yeah.
I appreciate you adding the extra context of the restaurant as
like,
well.
All the kids and Ange know when you walk into a restaurant where I'm sitting. No. I don't know. Just
they just clear out. So, like, let's say it's a bigger restaurant. You don't know where you're sitting. The waiter's taking you to the table for the first time.
Yeah.
And you're the last one in line.
Oh, yeah, they all know.
They all know and leave the one chair that's facing out, and you can see the entire room for you.
Exactly.
Two for two. Question number three.
Oh, step on his throat.
Whose throat are you in favor of stepping on?
Ugh. I have no idea. What day was that?
It was Monday.
Stepping on someone's throat. I have no idea.
My throat in my fantasy team. Because me and Josh and you have our head-to-head fantasy matchup.
Have the lineups been set yet?
They have. And so Joshy, who was favored, I'm creeping a little closer because George Pickens did not have a good game last night for the Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh.
He had Pickens and Dak Prescott, who both underperformed.
Ah, and you have who?
Last night I had Ferguson and the Lions defense.
And how'd you do?
Ferguson performed about how he should. Lions gave up points, but had
30.
Some turnovers. But
so what's turnovers, the points so right
helped.
Now?
He is leading, but the
you got
projection,
your money people yet, yeah.
Yeah, I've got my money people going. So he is still projected 52% for Josh to win.
Oh, okay.
But it's getting tighter.
All right, I like it.
If I win, I make the playoffs. Josh already in the playoffs fighting for seeding in our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Fantasy League.
All right. Keep me posted.
Question number four.
And I probably should know this being, you know, a pseudo-orthopedic. Who's Liz Frank? Who is it?
Didn't you have that injury?
No, I had plantar fascia.
Oh, you had plantar fascia. I'm sorry. Can you name the full name of the man who discovered the Liz Frank injury?
I believe Liz Frank Blanc. That's a hard one.
That is so hard. Ask
Jacques.
For the
Jacques, there's a Jacques.
I'd be willing to give it to you on Jacques.
There's
alone.
A Jacques, yeah.
Yeah, because it's Jacques Lefranc de Saint Martin.
We should give that to him.
Yeah, I think
tough.
He'd get that.
Was that the win, though?
Well, so there is a bonus question here off of this. What other job did Jacques have?
Oh, he's a gynecologist.
See, I'm willing to give him because he got the bonus. I think
that
he
counts.
Gets the full
All
he
right.
gets full credit for question four. I think he gets full credit for question number four. Let's play number five just for, you know, bleeps and giggles.
Number
love
two.
The slinky.
What were we talking about when you professed your love for the slinky?
One more time, Will.
Number
love
two,
the slinky. Profess my love for this. Oh, I loved it as a kid.
But what were we talking about?
Number
love
two,
the slinky. There were accidental inventions.
Right on the button.
Oh man! Woo!
Yeah.
Great week from the big
four?
Guy.
Four and one.
Four. Yeah. Right.
Got four so am I good five. Or really good?
Really good.
I think you're really good.
All right. Okay. I'll
I think you're really four and one. You're really good. If you go 5-0, then you're great.
Yeah.
So 4-1's really good.
All right.
That's a really good week from the big guy.
That magnesium is working, man.
And all those people your wife makes you talk to.
Yeah. I'd rather take the magnesium, though.
We're aware. We're aware. Hey, if you're looking for that great gift for a golfer on your holiday lists, Now go from now until December 23rd, make sure you stop by X-Golf inside American Family Field and take advantage of their Bernie Bucks voucher. It's $100 spent sim time at X-Golf at American Family Field, and the voucher looks great for a gift presentation, plus you get a bonus gift. So not only do you get the $100 to spend on sim time, get that great voucher, but you can choose between a sausage race golf head cover, that's right, the brat, Polish, Italian hot dog, or chorizo, you choose, or get two sleeves of Callaway Chrome Tour golf balls with the Brewers logo. You can only get that type of golf ball at X Golf at American Family Field, one of a kind with the Brewers logo. So take advantage of the Bernie Bucks Brewers voucher going on right now at X Golf at American Family Field. $100 to spend on sim time plus an additional gift of golf balls or a sausage race head cover. Stop in to X Golf inside American Family Field today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN. It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one championship.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. Or the AI, Chewy, hold can just on. Bring up championship. We don't even need Chewy.
They've had one championship.
What, it's going to be put like a hologram over
and
there?
Yeah.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
Karmazin is going to be joining us here shortly on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Kind of brings you back, doesn't it? To the Sunday show we used to produce.
I was just thinking about that, yeah.
He's always late for the intro.
Yeah, there would be times. Well, I got to the point, Will, so when I first moved to Milwaukee in 2013, I produced, one of the jobs I had was producing, at that point, I think it was the Miller Lite football show.
It was.
With Chewy and Craig. But I knew Craig would be here. He wouldn't be there when I hit the start for the open. It was a long open, though. It was like 2 minutes. And I knew by 10:01:30, if I started the open, he would be in his seat, ready to go.
Yeah. You just got to trust it at one point. I text Josh every time, too. I'm like, you sure? Like, just confirming the time's right. So even Sunday karma, too, sometimes.
So a lot of times I didn't have a key or they didn't give me a key. So I'd have to wait because Gabe was producing. He had things to do. So I'd have to wait at the front door for Craig to come. And it'd be like, what time did that show start?
10.
10? Be like 10:01. We'll see what excuse he comes up with this
Gabe's
time.
Sweating.
Oh, Gabe's I did, because then again, when I first got there, yes, I was sweating profusely. By the time it happened so many times in a row, and you start finding the rhythm of just, oh, this is just the way this show goes, and start the open, they're going to be here. I mean, was there one time maybe where you walked in and you were outside with him?
Yeah.
Where it got to the very end of the open, and I thought, am I going to have to open this show by myself? Yeah, that may or may not have happened.
See, I made Gabe a star, basically.
You
what I did.
Didn't even
because
know
because I
name.
Invented in radio getting the producer involved in the show. No one used to back in the day before I became on radio. No one would really let the producer speak until I came on. Yeah. But I'm going to come clean here. It's because I was lazy and I didn't really want to talk for 2 hours. So I
read that in a book that you created that.
You did, really?
Yeah.
All right.
You didn't even know my name.
I didn't know your name.
Produced a show for six. I produced the show for 6 months, and then I was going and doing some other things, so I wasn't going to be on the show anymore. And the last show that I produced, Chewy was making a point. And the way the old studio was set up, like he was like just like this, I could make. Craig could make eye contact with the producer, but Chewy, instead of being more on the angle that he is now, had his back to the producer. And one of Chewy's favorite things, you don't do it as much anymore, but one of Chewy's favorite things to do is make a point and then go, right?
Yeah, I know.
So he goes, right, Zach? And turns around and looks at me. I produced the show for 6 months.
I know.
Craig's like, who's Zach?
Zach Heilprin. Does he still work for the station?
He does not, no.
How long has he been away from the station?
Uh, pretty close to a decade at this point.
Oh, okay.
I think our good pal Zach has not.
I mean, not when you here. Think about it, Will, is there really a big difference between Zach Heilprin and Gabe Neitzel?
Yes.
No, there's not.
There's no.
There's a Z in Zach and a Z in Neitzel.
Syllables, and syllables are the same. It just, it could be a stage.
It's the Z.
Zach, are the syllables the same? I guess so. Three syllables?
Yeah.
The full name?
And the Z. I think the Z is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
No, they're the same.
The Z is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
I don't know what Zach looked like, but did he look anything like Gabe?
No.
Well, I guess you weren't looking at him, so it didn't matter.
Yeah. And it was kind of frosted, right? You couldn't really look at it. Wasn't. See, the reason I faced
frosted
with my back to him, because it was on Wisconsin Ave, and I want to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to get distracted by everything in the streets. You could just toss it to Zach or Gabe.
A lot of times I was. But I made him a star because I included him, and look at the shows now. Look at him now.
This is the first time you've actually tried to take credit for this.
Jesse on Wildy and Tausch. What's the dork's name?
Strofe.
Strofer. I had Chris, made Chris a star. Even gave him a great nickname, Blue.
Yeah, but that's not what he goes by anymore.
Gabe, no one used to talk from the producer's box.
It's patently false.
Telling you. Ask Craig when he gets here.
I will always, I don't know if he is going to get here. I always give you credit. When credit is due. Like, as we talked about, and it was part of the reach you.
Yeah.
The accidental inventions. You accidentally invented a play. I give you full credit for that.
Yes.
When credit, I will always give you credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe you're the first person to ever talk to a producer on a radio program.
Well, I'll come clean with this, too. I used to struggle. Will, are you listening?
No, he is not.
I used to struggle because when you talk to me in my ear, I thought everyone could hear that.
So every time Gabe talked to you through your ear, you were just answering him.
Am
like
I right?
It was on the air.
It felt very Jim Kelly-esque. He did the same thing, but he was on TV. And that's why he got fired.
And that's why you don't see Jim Kelly on your televisions anymore. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to step away, and Craig Karmazin is going to join us coming up next. Because I know you're going to want to grill him on this whole Giannis thing.
I not grill them. I just want answers. That's all I want. Yeah. I don't grill anybody. I just want to get to the bottom.
You grill
everything.
One person.
Well, he's kind of annoying.
And it's Craig.
Yeah.
And that's the person you grill. Craig Karmazin joining us next. Jen Gabe and Chewy. All right, we got to pull off the hot route here. No Craig Karmazin this week. Apparently on a flight. He's a busy guy.
Yes.
Do you think that he booked a flight on purpose after all the Giannis stuff came out because he didn't want to answer your Giannis questions and deal with you specifically?
Yeah, he plays scared at time to time. That's fine, though. I mean, he can't get away. He's going to be back. I'm like an elephant, though. I don't forget.
No, never.
Yeah.
Never.
In fact, that's what everybody knows about you. Not stuff like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
That is something that will be
long-term
sticking with you.
Long-term is solid.
Yeah, until you get the opportunity
Strofer's
to ask him
mad
about
at
it.
Me.
Because he called him a dork.
I didn't. Well, I said, Will, judge and jury, please. I think what's more offensive is Gabe knew exactly who I was talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Strofe kind of feeds off the, like, when you say something mean to him, he likes it, almost, in a way.
But he is a dork, though.
Mm.
It's okay. He's still going to like you. Just blame me.
He's a little, he has dork tendencies.
What's more offensive? That I called him a dork and I didn't know his name, or the fact that Gabe immediately knew who I was talking about.
I mean, you also listed everyone else and he was like the last one. So it was kind of process of elimination.
I could have said it first and he would have knew who I was talking about.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct, yes.
But we shouldn't really be mad at me. I would say I'm 20%, you're 80.
Wait, how? No, I'll negotiate. I'll take 25 if you take 75.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's
all right.
A good negotiation.
All right. I'll take some of the blame with you.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Packers Bears Sunday at Lambeau, 325. Are you changing your prediction at all?
No.
Because you had them winning by 11.
Yes, because I'm more confident that the Packers are very good as opposed to the Bears are good.
Okay.
Now,
well, because right now I would only place the Packers in the good category. The Packers' best is as good as anybody else's best in the league. The problem is we don't see it enough, right? And I'm not saying you have to see it every week. Like, you guys went 13-3, right?
Yeah.
You lose games in the NFL. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys, obviously, after the Rams game, you guys peaked up. I mean, what was it, 5 games in a row to close the season?
Yeah.
Six games in a row, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you obviously won the 3 games in the postseason that you needed to win as well, going away, won all those games by double digits.
But where we differ is, I think they're going to split. You think Packers win twice. So you don't have a lot of confidence that the Bears are good.
I'm not there yet. I'm just saying I think the Packers need to sweep if they want to win the division.
Like, this is what concerns me, because everyone in the world knew the Bears were going to run the ball against Philly, including mm-hmm. Philly.
Yeah.
And they did it to the tune of 200 something yards.
281, almost 300.
LaFleur wants to sit back and cover. I don't think he can.
No, I don't think Halfley can.
I don't think Halfley, sorry.
Yeah, Halfley can't. I think you have to drop. And honestly, the injury to Javon Bullard, because, I mean, we know teams play nickels basically your base at this point.
Yes.
You're playing more nickel than anything else in the NFL. And when you have a safety like that, as your slot guy, it helps against the run. And if he is unable to go, did not participate in practice yesterday, we'll see if he's able to go today in practice with an ankle injury.
Who do they put there?
Nate Hobbs.
He's going?
I don't know. He's listed as limited. I thought he was going to be back for this run of divisional games, and he's been out for the first two. I feel like he should be able to go with the knee injury now on Sunday.
What do you think where do you think the front office is at with him in regards to next season?
They're stuck with him for next season.
So you got him for one more?
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe he's just a depth piece. He ends up being your backup in the nickel. Maybe, I don't know. Because the one thing I do know is Carrington Valentine cannot come off the field. Carrington Valentine has developed into their best cornerback.
And who's the Bears 3? I mean, not McCardle. Who was there last year? The guy from San Diego.
Oh, Keenan Allen?
Keenan Allen. He's gone, right?
Yeah. And Keenan McCardle is who you were confusing him with,
yes.
which is fair. Yes, he is gone. Keenan Allen went back to the Chargers. So the top three wide receivers for the Bears are now DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, and Luther Burden.
So is Burden better than Hobbs?
Not if Hobbs is in the slot. Hobbs was good out of the slot.
Okay.
You know what I'm
saying?
Because
that's how you game plan. That's how we would game plan. Is our three better? Because we have four good receivers. Is our three better than their nickel?
Mm-hmm.
And is our four better than their dime?
But also, I don't know how much that matters when the Bears are going to run the football as much as they're going to want to run the football.
Well,
like, that's the most important
play
thing.
Action.
Oh, yeah, play action. Obviously,
yeah,
it's not like they're going to go, Homestead High School and throw the ball six times
in
this game.
Their drop back passing game does not concern me whatsoever.
No.
It's when they get the running game going and then
you can go use the
play
action. Because, again, Rome Odunze and DJ Moore are good wide receivers.
Yes.
Colston Loveland's been used out of those positions. But but it all starts by stopping the run.
Yeah, that's going to be the game. Because they can't throw. It's basically, hey, if they're going to win, Caleb Williams has to beat him.
58.1% completion percentage?
It's not great.
Yeesh.
Not great.
Yeesh. But what he is completing is some of the bigger plays.
You think LaFleur lets Love go? Like he did against Detroit?
I hope so. Because the game plan there, and I can't wait to talk we didn't really talk about this with Jason throughout the course of this week, but I think something that I am going to talk to Jason about on Green Bay Game Day. Again, you can listen to that from noon until kickoff on Sunday, right here on ESPN Milwaukee. Myself, Alex Strolf, Jason Wilde, Rob Domofsky. Going to try to reach out Courtney Cronin, see if she's willing and able to join the show as she covers the Chicago Bears. And what I want to talk to Jason about is, I have been a big proponent, Josh and I have been, of this needs to be more of an offense that's led by the pass.
Yes.
And against the Bears, they ended up having 30 pass attempts, 30 run attempts. Like, it was 50-50, but it felt like it was more led by what they did through the air, and then the ground game, because that kind of softened up the defense, you were able to run the ball with Josh Jacobs, who had a pretty efficient game.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of feel that I want, is you're leading this with Jordan Love and what he's able to do throwing the football.
Well, the receivers have to help him out.
Correct.
Because this is not playing in a dome. This is not perfect conditions. I saw a weather report that it's teens to low teens. Wind will be there, but not too crazy. It's just when you play outside, like you have to concentrate so much more. And not only catching the ball, it's putting
securing
it away because everything gets slicker. The ball gets slicker and your uniform gets slicker and the field gets slicker. So this can't be a game where there's five drops, you know, and you got two guys. Look, Reed hasn't played in how long?
He hasn't played since week two.
And there's the Packers are a team that don't go outside. We never were.
Yeah.
They get used to the elements. You're playing in there. Everything changes. So they have to be on top of their game concentration wise.
Yeah. So he hasn't. So Reed has not played in 12 weeks. Week two is the last time he played.
And he'll be on a pitch count.
I don't know. I mean, the way that they've always treated him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of coming out of the slot anyway. So he's a guy that doesn't play 80 or 90% of the snaps anyway because he's basically been just out of the slot. So he can only play 65% of the snaps anyway.
Does he get a jet sweep or no? I'm saying no.
No.
Hard no.
No.
Okay.
No. Jet sweep seems like a prime, like, collarbone tackle type play, too.
Yeah,
which
totally.
Is like exactly what you do not
you
want.
Just, yeah. You don't block the wrong guy.
Like, somebody tackles you from the side, they go high a little bit, they drag you down. That's exactly what you want
like
to not have it.
And you know what? The equivalent to what I did, I don't want to run wham having to block a size a guy Gilbert Brown size.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it, okay? I'll do it.
But you're going to hear
about
it.
You're not getting 100%, but I don't want to do it. I hated it. Hated it.
If Golden is healthy, I wonder if he's the guy to do kind of the jet sweep. And because the thing about the jet sweep is you need to have whoever that guy is still in there on a number of different plays, kind of doing the jet sweep motion, you know, kind of going back and forth just to kind of keep the other team honest. Because otherwise, if they just go, oh, Bo Melton's in the game, wonder what's going to happen here.
Who loses reps if Golden and Reed are playing? Is it Wicks or is it Dobbs? Because I don't think Watson will. Because Watson kind of their glue.
I would agree. I mean, I think everybody snap has to go. Except for Watson, everybody else has to go down a little bit. Because I think you use Golden can play both, outside and in. And Reed's just specifically in. But you're going to have to.
You don't think it's Wicks? Which I would. I don't know why, because Wicks.
I think he loses some snaps, but I think that.
Had a great game
Romeo,
last week.
I think Romeo also has to lose some snaps. Everybody does. I think
LaFleur loves
be,
him, though. And,
I mean, just... Again,
no,
I think there are specific situations to use him in, but I don't think he's going to be playing 90% of the snaps. In terms of snap count, I think the perfect thing for this week would be number one is Watson, two...
Dobbs.
I would say two Wicks in my mind.
Really?
Yeah. In terms of snaps.
Really?
I would give him those opportunities.
I agree. I mean, that's how it should be. Whether he does it or not, I don't
that
know.
That remains to be seen. I'm just giving you what I would want to see happen.
That's what I would want to see as well.
And then...
And I want to see Reed.
Yeah.
Like zebra personnel. It doesn't...
Those
not
are
every
three.
Time. Yeah. I want those three.
Those three. Those are your base
they're
three.
All they're all explosive. And you have to get Reed's feet under them, so he's going
to... And then, to me, Golden and Dobbs are about the same amount of snaps.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's going to take time for Reed to get... You don't come right in and be like you know, I went to a time where I didn't play any in training camp and then played the first game. I wasn't there.
Do you ever have... I know you had the neck. What about a shoulder? I know you had the feet issues
that we talked about.
I separated
in Tampa Bay, yeah. That stunk. That was early. I think that was 93, but I was a second or third tight end.
Is that tougher to come back from in terms of the contact stuff? Because with the foot, it's like a feel and pain tolerance thing. The shoulder probably feels fine until you get hit that.
Well,
because it takes another level of trust of, oh, I can absorb this contact and I'm going to be fine.
The problem with the shoulder is you lose strength and, you know, as a tight end, your upper body is huge. So that was probably tougher than a lower leg injury. You know, just because you're not as strong. Like Zach Tom with his torn pec.
He still played great last year.
No,
torn pec.
I know.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Whew. Packers-Bears, man. First time since 2013 the game has meant this much. And guess what? The one in 2 weeks?
Probably even more.
Probably going to matter even more.
Yeah.
No matter what happens on Sunday. But I do know we'll be back here on Monday to discuss it. Wildy and Tausch, though, they're coming up next.